A reading from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 3, this is text 11. Translation. When Vasudeva saw his extraordinary son, his eyes were struck with wonder. In transcendental jubilation, he mentally collected 10,000 cows and distributed them among the brahmanas as a transcendental festival. Kindly repeat. When Vasudeva saw his extraordinary son, his eyes were struck with wonder. In transcendental jubilation, he mentally collected 10,000 cows and distributed them among the Brahmins as a transcendental festival. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has analyzed the wonder of Vasudeva upon seeing his extraordinary child. Vasudeva was shivering in wonder to see a newborn child decorated so nicely with garments and gems. He could immediately understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had appeared not as an ordinary child, Shishirada Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Kitran, but in his original, fully decorated, four-handed form. So now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is going to give us a list of wonders. Why was Vasudeva so impressed? The first wonder was that the Lord was not afraid to appear within the prison of Kamsa, where Vasudeva and Devaki were interned. Second, although the Lord, the Supreme Transcendence, is all-pervading, he had appeared from the womb of Devaki. The third point of wonder, therefore, was that a child could take birth from the womb so nicely decorated. Fourth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was Vasudeva's worshipable deity, yet had taken birth as his son. For all these reasons, Vasudeva was transcendentally jubilant, and he wanted to perform a festival, as Kshatriyas do, to celebrate the birth of a child. But because of his imprisonment, he was unable to do it externally, and therefore he performed the festival within his mind. This was just as good. If one cannot externally serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can serve the Lord within one's mind, since the activities of the mind are as good as those of the other senses. This is called the non-dual or absolute situation, Advaya Jnana. People generally perform ritualistic ceremonies for the birth of a child. Why then should Vasudeva not have performed such a ceremony when the Supreme Lord appeared as his son? Oma Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalokaya Chakshura Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This is wonder of wonders, that in a very constricted position, the Lord not only was able to come, but was able to inspire his devotee with great wonder. There are no restrictions for a devotee. The person who brought me to Krishna consciousness was His Grace Tribhuvanath Das, who one time, feeling no restrictions whatsoever, he had been inspired to print Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita in the Arabic language and was distributing Arabic Bhagavad Gitas on the streets of a Middle Eastern country. It was Lebanon, Beirut. There was just one little detail. There was a war going on at the same time. He said, "Oh, well, we're here now. Let's distribute books." So they were distributing books and they were going door to door, as you do in a war zone. Unfortunately, sometimes what happened was that they were seen going door to door. And sometimes there was an explosion, either where they had been or near where they had been. So people thought, who are these people? Who are they working for? They must be working for, because in wartime you're either on this party or that party, this army or that army. So this is Beirut. And, so they were all arrested. But in this case, they were arrested by what was called the Palestinian Liberation Organization, or PLO. And they were arrested and they were placed in a prison. But no ordinary prison, they were all separated. And they were put in a prison. And this prison was this high. It was a specially constructed prison with a roof, the ceiling was this high, and the floor was there. So Dribhuvanath told me, he said for a whole month he could not stand. And he just had to lie down for a whole month. And it was in the oppressive heat of the Middle East. And the one meal a day was just rice, some plain rice. I said, could you remember Krishna in those circumstances? He said, yes. You remember Krishna even more in those circumstances because you are constricted. And it's something I've also witnessed in my very limited, very, very limited, I must say, just not to crow, but in my very limited days in at Her Majesty's pleasure. In the constabulary lockup after distributing books, when everything has been taken away, your neck beads, your bead bag, your beads, your Brahmin thread, your underwear, everything's taken away. Anything that you might do yourself damage with is taken away. You are left. So if everything is stripped away, how Krishna conscious can you be? Surprisingly Krishna conscious, actually. You know, if you think, well, if I don't wear a dhoti, and I haven't got my japa beads, and I haven't got my neck beads, and I haven't got my Brahmin thread, and there's no devotees, and there's no temple, and there's no deities, and there's no books, and it's just me. It's just me and my relationship with Krishna. What do I have? I mean, my relationship with Krishna is triggered, modulated, arranged by the presence of external stimuli, isn't it? We come to a temple, we see the deities, someone cooks prasadam, there's a kirtan, there's flower petals, there's Prabhupada's murti, there's someone's got the kartel, someone's got the harmonium. Strip it all away. What do you have? You just have your relationship with Krishna. So in those circumstances, could you be Krishna conscious? So here we see that Vasudev was Krishna conscious. Why? Because he was a devotee. Nothing external was required. He didn't have anything external. So the wonder begins when in a restricted situation he is able to remember the Lord. And this is part of our talk this morning, which I shall rapidly get onto because I was asked to give a talk about practicing Krishna consciousness at home. Now, there's two places where you can be Krishna conscious. Well, three, apparently. There's a jail, we've heard that, where you have nothing. There's a temple where literally you're given everything. Every possible way that you could be Krishna conscious, you can find here at Bhaktivedanta Manor. They'll even stamp your forehead with tilak when you walk in. They'll give you prasad as you leave. They'll tell you where to bow down, where to wait, where to queue, or not to bow down. Don't sing. Where to wear a mask or not wear a mask. You're told what to do, you see. We'll make it easy for you. So a temple is a place where it's easy for you to be conscious of Krishna. But what about your home? Is that easy to be conscious of Krishna? It could be. The original plan was you came here to the temple, and I'm giving this class not for those of you who live here. You're a small minority. But the great majority of people who are listening, you live at home. Can you be Krishna? Well, if you can be Krishna conscious in a jail with nothing, surely you should be Krishna conscious at home. That's really expected of you. You can be conscious of Allah in the mosque, but can you be conscious of Allah anywhere else? It all depends on the training. If God is everywhere, then you should be able to access Him everywhere. There's no question of, sorry, I can't get a signal, you're breaking up. Krishna, you're breaking up, I can't hear. It's an internal telepathic, not telephone. So there's four causes of wonder here. First, that he's everywhere and that he appeared in the prison. Second, that he appeared as he did. Third, what is it? Third, that he was so nicely decorated. And fourth, that he'd taken birth as his son. Absolutely amazing. Usually children arrive in this world, and I've seen a few babies arrive in this world. They arrive pretty unconscious. Inspiring in the sense of you look at your child just arrived and you think, I did that. And then the false ego begins. I did that. That's my child. Immediately, I, me, mine. Isn't it, Chris? Stamped all over the baby. You know, it's like we used to see little dolls made in Hong Kong. Do you remember? Made in Hong Kong. So when we stamp our own baby, made by me. My wife did something, but mainly it was me. This is the ego asserting itself. You had absolutely nothing to do with it. You know, you're simply carried on a machine made of material energy, and the modes of nature are doing everything, but you're claiming everything. So that's the first sense. If you want Krishna to appear in your home, strip away the ego from your family and your possessions and your house. Strip it all away and you'll be able to see Krishna. Only until you see Krishna as the true owner and proprietor and creator and uplifter and maintainer and destroyer, you know, will you be able to see Krishna in the right place. Secondly, understand that if you're a devotee of Krishna, he can appear to you in any situation. Third, that he's a person, that he is decorated in wonder, and that you have a personal relationship with him. But that's not the subject for today. I was asked to talk about Krishna consciousness at home, which is the original direction given to us by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who said in 1968, let's hear something Prabhupada said in 1968, in a book known as Bhagavad Gita As It Is. You heard of that one? Good one. If one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy because this process of Krishna consciousness is very easy. Anybody been in Krishna consciousness more than 5 years? Yeah? Give me a wave of your hand. Is it easy? He said it was. One need only chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Well, you knew that already. But what's the other three items? Accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Have some discussions on books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and engage oneself in deity worship. These four will make one happy. Sometimes when you have devotees and they're not very happy, you ever come across a devotee who's not very happy? Prabhupada, I think it was here that Prabhupada, there was one servant that Prabhupada had. And Prabhupada one day, this devotee did not seem very happy. And Prabhupada just said to him, he said, why must I look at your morose face every day? Prabhupada liked it when his devotees were like, he said, jubilant peacocks. He liked that. So these four things are important to be Krishna conscious at home. Often we don't do them, do we? Those of you sitting at home watching or listening. We chant Hare Krishna, that's easy. We accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Sometimes we offer all our food, sometimes we don't, isn't it? Many people, sometimes you offer your food and sometimes you don't. Well, you can't be happy unless you offer all your food. That's what Prabhupada is saying in this. Very simple trick. Take the hint, offer all your food. Have some discussions on books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, to which a man immediately says, what, with my wife? With my children? How can I discuss Srimad Bhagavatam with my wife? It'll turn into a session where I'm being told what to do. So, well, that's the purpose of having a wife, to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. If you have a wife that you can't discuss Srimad Bhagavatam with, either get a new one. But apart from that, get a new wife by waking up one morning and saying to her, my dear, I think we should discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada gives that direction. What do you think? And she will go, yes, we should do that, my husband. And immediately your relationship will bloom. And the last thing, engage oneself in deity worship. Well, Prabhupada said different things about deity worship. We consider them. He said things like, if you live within 8 miles of the temple, come to the temple. That's your main focus of deity worship. If you live outside that perimeter... No, he didn't say that. I'm making it up. But he installed Radha Krishna deities in a house that is 8 miles from here, reasoning that the devotee could not easily come to Bhaktivedanta Manor. So then he made the arrangements that he could worship Krishna at home. But, he said, if you cannot easily come to the temple, worship Krishna at home. If you can easily come to the temple, then please push on the deity worship at the temple. I think this will be the best plan, the best idea. I've got the exact quote. He says, if you do these four things, that will make you happy. Easy. This was chapter 13, texts 8 to 12. And he wrote that in 1968, quite early on. So we are lucky that at least, you know, when I joined this movement, they took everything away from me. They said, you have to surrender. I said, what does that mean? And a devotee upstairs here at the manor said, you have to give us your rucksack. Give us your rucksack, your sleeping bag, and your camera. We'll have that. We'll use that in Krishna's service. They took everything away from me. Bunch of thieves in the Brahmachari ashram. So I had no camera. So sometimes people say to me, why is there no photographs of you from 1974 through to 1981? Was it because no devotee owned a camera? Why are you going to take photographs of a lump of blood, mucus, stool, urine, hair, feces, which is what the body is? Okay, well, with that attitude, no one takes any photographs of just about anybody. So there's very few photographs of devotees here in the ashram. You know, now we have many, many photographs and everybody's got a camera. But when Prabhupada was in Conway Hall, we are lucky that someone did have a camera. His name was Guru Das. There's a very famous picture taken by Guru Das from the side of the stage in Conway Hall. And it's Prabhupada like this. Prabhupada is preaching to the assembled friends and members and interested parties at Conway Hall, and he's like this. Classic preaching pose. And that was taken and put on the masthead of the Back to Godhead magazine. Have you seen it? If you read Back to Godhead, remember that magazine? Anybody still read it? Hope so. So Prabhupada is there like that, little, what they call a lozenge photograph. Anyway, he took that. So the words that Prabhupada is saying are twofold. He begins that lecture by saying, ladies and gentlemen, what are the Vedas? And that goes on to become the Ishopanishad introduction. But further on in the lecture, he concludes by telling them how to become Krishna conscious at home. And this is what he says. The process is very simple. Just keep a picture, listen carefully, just keep a picture of Lord Chaitanya with his associates. Lord Chaitanya is in the middle, accompanied by his principal associates, Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, and Srivas. One simply has to keep this picture. One can keep it anywhere. It is not that one has to come to us to see this picture. Anyone can have this picture in his home, chant this Hare Krishna mantra, and thus worship Lord Chaitanya. That is the simple method. But who will capture this simple method? Those who have good brains. Without much bother, if one simply keeps a picture of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at home and chants Hare Krishna, then one will realize God. Anyone can adopt this simple method. There is no expenditure. There is no tax. Nor is there any need to build a very big church or temple. Anyone, anywhere, can sit down on the road or beneath a tree and chant the Hare Krishna mantra and worship God. Therefore, it is a great opportunity. Okay? Excellent, isn't it? That's Conway Hall in London. So the first of these considerations is chanting Hare Krishna. Anyone that comes to this temple regularly and hears the Srimad Bhagavatam classes will know so many instructions on chanting Hare Krishna. I don't intend to repeat them for you, but I thought that I would tell a story. There was a king. I've told this probably 26 times. There was a king who wanted a wonderful sculpture of an elephant in his garden. And he called all his sculptors together. He said, "Royal sculptors, make me the most lifelike stone sculpture of an elephant." They all did. He said, "This one is all right, this one is all right, this one is all right, this one's fine, but a few doesn't. But the one on the end, it should look like the real elephant on the end." He said, "That's a real elephant. For comparison, if you compare all of your sculptures..." And they said, "Your Majesty, that's not a real elephant. That's a stone elephant." He said, "No, don't be ridiculous. I can see with my own eyes it's a real elephant." And he went up to it, knocked on it, and of course it was made of stone. He said, "Who is the sculptor that has made this elephant?" A young boy came forward and he said, "It is me, Your Majesty." He said, "How did you do it?" He said, "Well, Your Majesty..." He said, "I just started with a big block of stone and I chipped away everything that was not elephant." See, I told you I'd told it many times before. So Prabhupada in the retelling, he says, life is a block of wood. He said, you just have to chip away that which is not Krishna. He said, there you will have Krishna. So if in your life at home there are things which are not Krishna or Krishna's business, chip them away. Chip, 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 chip. And then you will be left with Krishna. It's very simple, isn't it? But who has the eyes to see? The point with Vasudeva in his cell in the prison was that he actually knew what God looked like. That's the point. He knew what God looked like. So God appeared in front of him and he said, "Okay, that's God. That's God. That's my Lord." But unless you know what God looks like, how will you chip away everything which is not God? So therefore, coming to the temple and gaining sadhu sangha, we learn what is God and what is not God, what is teacher and what is not teacher, what is scripture and what is not scripture, what is food that is worthy of being eaten and what is not. So our daily chanting is like chipping away, chip, 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 Hare Krishna, chip, 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 Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, chip, 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 Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. We're chipping, chipping, chipping. And Krishna is saying, "All right, you're chipping, I am manifesting. Thank you very much." That's the relationship. So Rupa Goswami said that initial Shraddha or faith leads to Sadhu Sangha. And then Bhajana Kriya, activities of devotion. Just putting this out there for the philosophers who've read these things. So we may have initial enthusiasm, or utsaha mahi, which gives way, unfortunately, to lack of enthusiasm. Thick and thin practice, ganatarala. We make vows, and we make determination, "I'm going to be a devotee." And then we wake up on a wet Tuesday morning and we think, so sure. It's called vyudhavikalpa, or oscillating resolve. Not oscillating, but vacillating. Vacillating resolve. Why? Because of Vishaya Sangara. Struggles with sense enjoyment. Sense enjoyment can be material, physical, or it can be mental, emotional. Anything where the ego is applied to anything in the material world is a type of sense enjoyment. It may look very sattvic, but it's a type of sense enjoyment, and therefore we can become attached to it. I'm speaking philosophically now. I'm not speaking as if I'm a paragon of virtue, or I have learned every lesson that there is to be learned, you see. But I'm speaking now as a mouthpiece of my master. So then we come to the stage, niyamakshama, that we make vows, but we can't uphold them. Now, there's two things here I must say for those of you who've are on your way to making vows and those who've already made them. We say as children, make vows, never, never break vows, don't we? Or something like that. Make friends, never, never break friends. It's a playground sing-song that children sing. Unfortunately, the road to other places is paved with good intentions. We may have good intentions, but we may struggle along the way. Now, there's two types of person. Three, actually. One is in the mode of goodness. And the person in the mode of goodness, coming to this point of Niyamakshama, there's a very good series of talks by Ravindra Sarup who talks about this called Cure of Souls. If you ever get a chance to listen to it, it's very good. He says, we have a response to Niyamakshama in three ways. The mode of goodness devotee says, I'm really not doing very well. I need to associate with people who are better devotees than me. The person in the mode of passion says, I'm really not doing very well. I should find some devotees who are also not doing well, like me, then I'll feel good. If I associate with people that are better devotees than me, I'll feel bad. You see, the person in the mode of goodness says, feeling bad is part of the plan. That's why you associate with devotees that are better than you. Person in the mode of ignorance says, I'm not good doing so well in spiritual life. It's probably somebody else's fault. Who can I blame? Okay? So these are different responses to Niyamakshama. And then comes a little bit of easiness. And we begin to enjoy the fruits. I'm enjoying chanting Hare Krishna. I've enjoyed this kirtan. And again, one goes from servant to being the enjoyer. Have you ever had that experience? We are leading a nice kirtan. Usually it comes when I'm leading a kirtan. And usually the thing like, Prabhuji led a nice kirtan. I'll tell you what to avoid. As an experienced kirtan leader, what to avoid. It's not a different melody. It's the thought that crosses your mind, I am leading this kirtan. When you begin thinking, I am leading this kirtan, the next thought is, and the devotees are liking it. The devotees are jumping. The devotees are ecstatic. I did this. And that's where you stop enjoying the kirtan. Isn't it, Lokapandu? You stop enjoying the kirtan. You begin spiraling down from that point. It's called Tarangarangini. It can happen to anyone at the best of times. The other point, and Tribhuvanath, who was an excellent kirtan leader, he also taught him this point. He said, when you get above that, he says, you may have in a kirtan a taste of bliss, a taste of genuine bliss. So you experience this genuine bliss, either you're leading the kirtan or you're not, but you actually feel as if Krishna is standing next to you. The Krishna is with you. The Krishna is telling you, this is what it's like if you were to be Krishna conscious all the time. Isn't it wonderful? He said, then immediately what follows that is the fear. But I'm going to lose this tomorrow. I'll never be able to keep it up as long as I need to in life so that I become this Krishna conscious ever again. He said, at that point, you lose Krishna completely. So on the one hand, it's pride that removes your Krishna consciousness. And the other level, it's fear that removes your Krishna consciousness. But they're both material. Both pride and fear are based on the bodily concept of life. But they're both subtle, and they happen in a blink of an eye. So let us go through to some fail-safe instructions. Early to bed, early to rise, makes a devotee healthy, wealthy, and wise. Yes. The normal thing is to eat late at night, Prabhupada says. Yogi means don't eat at night. He said that. And if you don't believe me, you can ask Deepak, who has all the quotes of Prabhupada. Yogi means don't eat at night. How many people eat at night and then can't get up in the morning? You can do it maybe before you're 30 years old. After 30 years old, you really have to be very careful. Yeah. Eat at 4. He said if you eat at 6, it takes 6 hours to digest grain. If you digest grain, he said there are different types of deep consciousness, different types of consciousness. There's an Upanishad called the Mandukya Upanishad that tells the Upanishad of the frog. It says as a frog jumps, so we can jump from the 3 primal layers of consciousness to the 4th, which is known as Turiya. So the deep, deep sleep is known as Sushupti, no dreams. The dreaming sleep is known as Svapna, you're conscious but unconscious. And then Jagrati or Jagrata is waking consciousness, which may be subject to different levels of dreaming. This is something that Patanjali Muni gets into. So the thing is that in order to completely restore the body, we need Sushupti. But so often if we eat at night, we get Swapna, and you wake up the next morning and you are tired. And we have dive bomb japa as a result. You know dive bomb japa? So early rising. Somebody asked me the other day, how do I chant? And I said, the best thing that I have found, and again, not that I'm always a paragon of virtue, but the best thing that I have found is that if you reserve time, you make time. You make an appointment with Krishna. You make an appointment. You make an appointment with Krishna. My dear Krishna, I'm going to be with you from this time to this time. But you don't understand, Kripamoya. It's very easy for you to sit there in your dhoti and kurta and your tilak after many years of practice and condemn me, a simple householder, listening to this class at home. I wish you wouldn't do that. You don't understand what I'm going through. I have children. And I will also say, I also had children. I had 3 children. Well, you don't understand. I have a job to go to. And I will say, I also had things to do during the day. Still do. So there is no excuses. There are no reasons. Once you've declared mentally, I'm going to be a devotee, the next thing you have to do is say, I'm going to make an appointment with Krishna each morning and allow no interruptions. The biggest weapon of mass distraction there is today is the little tablet or phone that you carry. And that has completely destroyed japa, morning japa, for thousands upon thousands of devotees. It's just destroyed japa periods in homes. So much so that even if when we meet devotees, we go, let me take a picture, taking a picture of a devotee. When people come in front of the deities, first thing they do is take a picture. If you were invited to go and see the Queen, you know, and she invited you into a private chamber, you know, what's the first thing you do? Whip out your phone and say, can I just take a selfie? No, you don't do that, you plod. You know, you behave according to how that person wishes you to behave. It's not all about you and your enjoyment and how many images you can capture on your phone. It's about interacting with a person. When you come in front of the deities in the temple, don't take a picture. There's no value in taking a picture. You know that you'll never look at that picture again. Go in front of the deities, keep your phone in your pocket, put your two hands together like that, and pray for God's sake. Pray. And say, I am a fallen wretch. I've forgotten you for many, many thousands of lifetimes. Now I have an opportunity to remember you. Please allow me to remember you. This is a much better thing than... Oh, look, the deities... Sorry, sir, I know you're probably doing it for a very professional reason. But interact. Especially if you live at home, as, of course, who doesn't live at home except the homeless? Devotees used to give classes here. They used to say, for those devotees who live at home, as if it was some sort of rare species of life. For those devotees who live in their own home. But we have to be very conscious. We have thousands upon thousands. We've been successful. One of the most difficult things is for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to respond to its own success. After years and years of preaching, teaching, guiding, instructing, befriending, supporting, we have success in that thousands of people wish to be devotees or are devotees. Honoring the Lord's prasadam, I'll do this very quickly. Prabhupada said something very funny in Vrindavan. It wasn't very funny, actually, but I thought it was funny because I have an evil mind. He said, observing that some of his disciples were eating too much, he said, many sannyasis have fallen down in the name of Mahaprasadam. Interesting, huh? I'll leave you to think about that. But the main thing is that please do offer your food. It is very easy when you have children not to offer what your children eat and then to sort of mentally excuse yourself and eat their food. So you are eating the remnants of your child, which is all very affectionate and loving and wonderful. But it's not helping you. It's not one of the four principles of being Krishna conscious at home. Studying Srimad Bhagavatam, we do that bit by bit. It's all very well going to Goloka and buying an entire set of Srimad Bhagavatams and putting it on a golden throne and having it installed in your home. But you've got to, I'll let you in on a secret, you've got to take the plastic off. You've actually got to read it. There's one sannyasi in the Gaudiya Math, I forget his name, maybe it was B.V. Puri Maharaj, who would studiously read the Srimad Bhagavatam every year. He would read the whole Bhagavatam in 1 year. And he did that, and he would mark at the back of the Bhagavatam when it was completed. So it's an idea. We do the Bhagavatam bit by bit, don't we? We study one verse a day. And we have a remnant of the old Gurukula system where you would read the Bhagavatam. You would read the verses 10 times so that you remembered them. Is that a note for me coming? 8:30. We will need to clear temple room by 8:30 to prepare for festival. There's a festival today. There's a festival today? Today? Oh, okay. Nice to know. So we shall finish. So here's something. Deity worship. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested them all to return home and begin chanting the holy name congregationally. He also requested them to worship Krishna, chant his holy name, and discuss his holy pastimes. Prabhupada says, everyone can execute the cult of Krishna consciousness at home, as ordered by the Lord. And then he again says these things. And it said here, this is very interesting. It is not that we have to open different centers all over the world. Okay? We don't have to do it. Whoever cares for the Krishna consciousness movement can install deities at home and, under superior guidance, worship the deity regularly, chanting, discussing, etc. We are actually teaching in our classes how to go about this. One who feels that he is not yet ready to live in a temple, which is 99.9% of people, or undergo strict regulated principles in the temple, especially householders who live with a wife and children, can start a center at home by installing the deity, worshipping the Lord morning and evening, chanting and discussing Bhagavatam. Anyone can do this at home without difficulty, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested all the devotees present there to do so. We want, and this is a letter, we want every house to be a temple. Not that our place should be the only place for people to come. No. This should be the process, that they learn at our place, School of Bhakti, then establish the same thing at home, congregational development. Now, what do we do? Well, I can't worship the Lord at home like you worship him in the temple. So Krishna says, one should worship me by offering the most excellent paraphernalia, but a devotee completely free from material desire may worship me with whatever he is able to obtain. Okay, let me go on to different things. Hare Krishna. So we have a couple of minutes. Any questions?
8:30?
Is this? Okay, 8:30. Any points? Then we will finish bang on time. But you didn't follow this advice. Prayojana, you didn't follow this advice. I came to your home. I installed the Bhagavatam, installed the deity, got him started on Sankirtan at home. And then what did you do? Thanking me as a way of thanking me and my wife for coming to the Isle of Wight, helping you become Krishna conscious at home. What did you do? How did you repay me? You came and you became a monk. Every time I see you, I think, what a waste. Dressed in saffron.
Just one mention of a verse that Bhagavad Gita 9:27 is a perfect verse for the householder, where he says, do everything for me in this consciousness.
Yes.
So look after your family, look after your place. It's Krishna's house, it's Krishna's children. These aren't yours. So it's a wonderful verse, so that's Prabhupada, it's good advice. And yes. Okay, that's it.
Thank you, wonderful, yeah. Go on, your voice will carry.
Online
people.
For the devotees at home.
For the devotees at home.
I was just thinking, Prabhu, it's not really just that whenever we speak with devotees who are living outside and we talk about this, that you can be Krishna conscious anywhere and there's no matter how much you say it and no matter how much you teach it, it always feels like they think it's just like not true. Like, it's just that you're just saying it to make them feel better or whatever, but yeah. It's not actually possible. It's a nice idea, but it's never really. And we just preach it because it's like...
There was a man. He had difficulty being Krishna conscious at home. He went to his guru and he said, why do you find it so difficult to be Krishna conscious at home? He said, well, I have six children. Wife and six children. He said, well, go home and invite your mother-in-law to come and stay with you. Okay. And he went back to his guru, and the guru said, how's that for a week? He said, well, I'm trying hard. He said, then invite your brothers, their wives, and their children to come and live with you. Big house. Okay. Then he got a message from his guru. Bring in the cow from next door, the goat from next door, let them all live with you. And he came back to his guru and he said, Guru Maharaj, he said, this is pandemonium. There's no question of me being Krishna conscious. He said, send everybody home. Send everybody home. And he came to his Guru Maharaj and he said, how is it now? He said, oh, it's wonderful. I'm so Krishna conscious. He said, see, it's all a matter of relativity. What you think is your obstacles is actually your impetus. Use your, what you see as your obstacles, take that obstacle and use it as an impetus. I'm in prison. How can I be Krishna conscious? I don't have my beads. You know? How do we deal with that? You chant Hare Krishna on your fingers. You know how to chant on your fingers? On your fingers. You chant on your digits, 9, 12, there's 12s, 12 on your hands, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, do it again, 12 on here, 9 on here, 9 12s, 108. Okay. Adachan. Just if Her Majesty's constabulary take you in for the weekend. Or you find yourself in a situation without your, I don't have any books, how can I be Krishna conscious? There used to be a case, but books are everywhere now. You don't have any book by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to study? Go to Oxfam. Go to Oxfam. Oxfam has all of Prabhupada's books. Every shop, all over the country. There's never any excuse. And if you quote these verses, it's not that Prabhupada is placating everyone. We really must learn how to rise above the difficulties. And that means that the devotees who do live in the temple, who have taken the role of priests, must A, be expecting that people have perceived obstructions in their life, but B, be able to tell them how to deal with it. And that's really why householders must talk to each other. Anyone who's in a particular way of life must talk to each other to see how do you become Krishna conscious in your way. And there's many, many ideas now. And they're all on the internet, all circling on the internet. As well as many other ideas how not to be Krishna conscious, circling on the internet. You can be Krishna conscious in any situation. Ultimately, you will be Krishna conscious if Krishna agrees with your proposition to allow you to be his devotee. That is really what happened to Vasudev, and it could happen to us if we are in Vasudev consciousness, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, who gave us all reasons to be Krishna conscious, and it removed all obstacles, key, Hare Krishna.